Hello, hello, and good morning. I like Pastor Jason. He started with an accent, but couldn't quite commit to it the whole time, huh? Do you like that? He was about to do like cowboy the whole time, and I think he bailed on it. So pretty good. I know like sometimes it works well in my mind, and then I started and I was like, oh no, I got to get out of this thing. So that was fantastic. Feel free to sign up for all those things. And on the lunch one, if you can just do one of the lunches, that's totally fine. And so if you're interested, you can check that out online. At jerichoroad.church. I have another weird sort of announcement kind of thing. Pastor Jimmy Davis, who used to pastor here, he actually, they've been for the last 2 years looking for a church to go to serve at, that kind of thing, and he's been applying to a bunch, and finally he was hired at a church, and today, right now, he's getting installed as their youth pastor and kind of associate kind of role there in Tennessee, and they recently just bought a house there, so he's inviting all of us out there. He doesn't know this yet, but he's inviting us all out there to hang out with him and head out to his new church, Journey Church. So if you can remember to pray for them, I know we love him. They've been joining us online all the time until they found a church, and so now they may not be joining us online from Tennessee, so we'll miss him, but we love him, and we know God's going to do an amazing work, and I know you guys are invested in him. That's why I wanted to share that this morning. All right, so let's start with our shouts. What do we do here? We love God, and we love others. And what do we say? I love God, and I love you. And I love saying it each week because I need a reminder. What the heck am I doing here on this planet? And I forget things, and especially as I get older and older, I forget things more and more. And so I'm so thankful to have things like a shout-out reminder, things that God instituted like communion for us to remember each week and to be recentered back together. So welcome today, and welcome to our new series, Rays of Hope, where we're going to look at God's promises to you when you face times of trouble in your life. And we all experience trouble. Sometimes it's health issues. That's a major trouble that some of us are facing. I know this is real for us today. I know there's at least three or four families who aren't here physically because they are sick or their kid is sick or someone is sick in their families. And so this is a real kind of thing that we face, various sicknesses in our family. And it's not just for us. If I said, raise your hand if either you or someone in your immediate family is dealing with sickness, I think the majority of our hands would be raised. I couldn't think, as I was thinking over our congregation, and I'm praying for you guys constantly, and we're praying for you and your families, and the amount of people I'm praying that are sick at our church is like more than I've ever had to pray for. And then as I listen to each of your stories, it's your sister and your mom or your auntie or these kind of things. And I would bet that every one of our hands would go up because of the trouble of sickness that we experience in life. Sometimes that's the trouble. Sometimes the trouble is money trouble, where you, quite frankly, don't have enough money to pay all of your bills. And I have been there more times than I probably want to admit, that sometimes you just don't have enough. Sometimes your troubles are relationship troubles. Maybe it's relationship above with your parents. Maybe it's relationship with your spouse. Maybe your kids or your friends. All of us have experienced relationships troubles, right? Like that is a real thing. We are in it, whether your kids are young or old. There's like a sometimes relational trouble even within your own families. And so that's one of the troubles that we face. Perhaps your trouble today is in the form of needing to make a difficult decision in your life. Sometimes your trouble is seemingly insurmountable. Maybe it's an obstacle in your life, or maybe it's trauma from previous troubles that's still coming back today and still haunting you and bothering you and overwhelming you even today. See, trouble can come as a single event, but it can come as a long-term issue. It may be something that happened in the past, and it still has some ramifications today, but it may be something that's happening right now, or it might be something that you see is going to happen quite soon. You see, no matter what form or duration troubles take, we all face troubles, but as believers, we have a hope that is available that changes us. It doesn't always change our circumstances, but it changes us. So in the next 3 weeks, we're gonna explore some rays of hope that God has for us found in His Word for our times of trouble. And our first one, we're gonna go all the way back to Moses, 1,400 BC, 3,500 years ago. Because folks, troubles are not new, and they're not news to God. And so here was a brief history of where we're going to pick up Moses. Moses, he goes to Egypt. You're pretty familiar with this. He frees the Israelites from 400 years of slavery. Tons of miracles going on. He goes through the wilderness with them, gets the Ten Commandments, gets a new covenant with God. There's some more miracles that go on. Leads them all the way to the very edge of the promised land. God said, go to this land. And Moses gets to lead them all the way to the edge of there. Through mountains of troubles, all sorts of things that happened that were troublesome and difficult in his life and the life of the people. And then he gets to the edge of the promised land, and here's where we're going to pick it up, and he says this to the people. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Then Moses went out and he spoke these words to all of Israel. He said, I'm now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. So Moses, at 120 years old, is limited not by his physical condition, but God told him that he wasn't going to get to go to the promised land. He had to do all the work to get to the promised land. And then God said, yeah, you're not going to go because of something that he did with hitting a rock two times, and he was supposed to talk to the rock. And then God says, oh, sorry, man, you blew it. And so he's going to get to go into the promised land, and he knows it not because of his physical condition, but God's calling him, eventually calling him home in just a few moments. So the people, though, they're about to lose Moses, as in the Moses. He's the Moses then as well. Their leader, their prophet, their voice from God, their voice, God to them and them to God. At the very moment, they're about to go through the biggest trouble in their national history. They're being asked to conquer multiple people groups, to fight battles, to build a nation in a land that they're unfamiliar with. All without their leader, the miracle guy, the burning bush part the Red Sea guy. The only leader that most of them had ever known their entire life. Because remember, a whole generation died in the wilderness? So all the rest of them, all they've known is Moses. And now Moses says, I'm not going with you. Go conquer a land that you don't know anything about. Good luck. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. I'm out. I'm going to go be with God. And what a huge change. And then he gives them an encouragement as they face this challenge of a new life and a new land and new leadership. And new things can be scary and changes can be daunting and changes can be trouble in and of themselves. But Moses reminds the people this. He says in the next verse, he says, the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He'll destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will also cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. So the nation could be confident, and Moses could go his way in peace, because he knew that God would go before them. God says that he's going to destroy the enemies even before the Israelites get there, that the battle was won, that he was going to fight for them. God was doing a work, going before them, and all they needed to do was follow. That's what Moses told to the people. There's this trouble ahead of you, but you go through it, but don't worry. God is going ahead of you in that trouble, and he will make the way. Additionally, Moses reminds the people of God's previous actions. He says this, and the Lord will do to them as he did in Sihon and Og and the kings of the Amorites when he destroyed whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded to you. So he says, remember God's past faithfulness. He said, this isn't news. They had fought some battles before as they were coming to the promised land. And God said, remember how God was faithful in that last little bit. Remember all that God has done already when facing the impossible or the overwhelming. Remember his love and provision for your life, but also his consistency over the last thousands of years. So he's telling that to the people, and you know, he's telling some people, but I'm hearing it for me too a little bit. Man, it may be overwhelming what we're about to face or what you're going through, but remember God's faithfulness, not just for your tiny life, but look at the history of God in the world and his faithfulness in the world. Remember his love and provision. Remember that time and time again, God has demonstrated that he is with you every step of the way. And remember, God is powerful and he delivers if you simply obey. He said, God will go before you. Just follow into that promised land. And Moses finishes with this powerful ray of hope where we're going to camp in today. Here's how he finishes, and listen carefully to what he's saying and to whom he's saying it. In Deuteronomy 36, the next verse, he says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Talking to the people. Then Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to them in the presence of all of Israel, "Be strong and courageous, Joshua, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you, and he'll be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid, and do not be discouraged." See, the word to Joshua is the exact same. Pull that back up really fast. If you look carefully, the word to Joshua is the exact same word as the word to the people. And I would say it is the exact same word to us. When we look at the Old Testament, not everything applies one-to-one to us because we're not the nation of Israel. But we can look at principles about God and how God interacts with people, and we can apply them to our own life. And this principle almost applies directly. The timeless principle is that I can have hope no matter the trouble that I face because God is with me. That's what he's saying to Joshua, that's what he's saying to the people, and that's what he's saying to us in the middle of even our troubles. So our first ray of hope is this confidence in the middle of battle, in the middle of life, in the middle of struggle and worry, that God is with you. Yes, there's trouble, and there's going to be troubles, but the Lord is with you. So through Moses, the Lord gives the people in Joshua four rays of hope, and then he gives them two charges of hope for the difficulty that they're about to face. And the principles apply to our lives as we too follow the same God who's interacting with the people, the one who is with us in the middle of our troubles and calls us to follow him and to trust him. So here are the four rays of hope that we see in that passage. The first one, he said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. God believes that you have it in you to be strong and courageous. Otherwise, he wouldn't ask you to be it. So he's never going to ask you to do something that you can't do. And so he says, be strong and courageous. That means God knows that he will provide through the Holy Spirit your ability to obey and fulfill and step into this command. In the face of trouble, you have the internal capacity to actually be much more than you think you can, to handle more and to endure more and to honor God more in even that you think you're able to. So he says, be strong. And then be courageous. It's not that you don't have any fear in the face of trouble, because that's silly. Trouble's scary. I mean, the real troubles in my life, they're scary. I'm scared of them. I get nervous. I get upset. I don't know what to do. So it's not that the fear doesn't exist. But rather, courage is the ability to do the right thing and to trust God even in the midst of the trouble and the fear. To exercise faith in the midst of your fear. Then you will see that fear fade away. Wiped out by courage. So you don't need to be afraid. Yes, I am afraid, God. And he says, okay, trust me, trust me. You say, okay, I'll trust you. And then that fear gets wiped away. Be courageous. The second ray of hope, it says, God goes before you. And now Joshua is the man, but the work was the Lord's. It's God who is the one that goes before them. Bringing the people into promised land, that was God's work. And overcoming the trouble in your life is God's work. Do you hear me on that? Overcoming the trouble in your life is God's work, not your work. Because you can't create a bigger bank account. You can't heal cancer. You can't stop aging. You can't do any of the things in your life. That's why we turn to God who can do things. That he goes before us. Overcoming the trouble in your life is God's work. But God has already traveled the path ahead. There's no trouble that you can face that Jesus hasn't faced. There's no temptation that you could endure that Jesus hasn't endured. There's no frustration that you could experience that he hasn't experienced and already triumphed over. In Hebrews, it reminds us, for we don't have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he didn't sin. We have a high priest who's gone before us. The Bible says that Jesus knows exactly what we're going through because he's gone through it. And he goes before us now. He leads the way in the middle of our trouble. And our third ray of hope, he says, God will be with you. There's no trouble that you will ever face where you're alone. God will be with you. And I sort of try to think about it. Is there any greater hope in the world than knowing that the God of the universe is with you? That God will be with you in the middle of any trouble that you face? That you're never left dangling in the wind alone? So don't ever listen to the lies of the enemies. And this is one of his favorite ones, where you face a little bit of trouble and you immediately start to feel that you're all alone, that nobody understands, that you have to deal with this by yourself, that you're the only one that's experienced this, and that you're overwhelmed and you're alone and you're isolated and nobody knows anything about it. Because that's a lie from the enemy. That is not the truth of God. He is always with you, even in the middle of troubles. And he will allow friends and godly folks to come around you so that you will never travel trouble alone. So don't ever listen to that lie. Whenever you hear that pop in your head that you're alone in this or you're feeling isolated because things are overwhelming, because it happens. Troubles don't seem to come in ones. Troubles comes in eights and 12s and 14s, right? They only come in dozens and more. It'll be all good, and then one thing will hit, and then another thing, and another bill, and then someone's sick, and then this other thing happens, and you lose your job, and then, and you're tempted to feel like you're all alone, but the Bible says you are not. God is with you. God's truth is that he is right with you wherever you are in the midst of your troubles right now. But even more, the Bible says he will be with you in the future troubles that you have. That's our next ray of hope, that God will always be with you. See what the scripture says? That God will be with you, that God will in fact always be with you. The duration of your trouble is irrelevant because God's not only in one moment of trouble, God is in all of the moments. God will be with you in tomorrow's troubles. And sometimes we can see the tomorrow troubles coming. Like for many of us, our parents are going through the final stages of their lives. There's more than 5, 6, 7 families here that you're dealing with your parents who have Alzheimer's or dementia or cancer or name that disease. We could play doctor name the disease. And there's someone probably in our congregation whose family is dealing with that. And you can see it coming. You know there's a trouble there. It's going to be a heartbreak. You're dealing with it now as they're, how do I deal with my aging parents? I don't know what to do. I don't have the answers. And it seems to all unravel, and you can't do it by yourself, and it gets a little bit overwhelming, and you see that heart trouble brewing. But even as we do, as our parents age, and we see it coming, and ultimately they're going to pass away in not that near distance of a future, and that trouble is coming. But God says, I am with you in the troubles to come. I will be with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. Not just in your moment now. Yeah, he's in your moment now for sure. But you don't even have to worry about tomorrow's moments. Because God says, I'm going to be with you then. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you always and will be with you. You can never fall below his hands of grace. You can never outrun his love and you can never leave his security. He'll always be with you. And then he gives two charges based on those assurances. So because we have those assurances, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Sickness. Worst case scenario, you die. But then you're with Jesus, so it's a win, right? No money. Worst case scenario. You can't afford to buy food and you die. and you're with Jesus, that's a win. Relationship issues. Worst case scenario, they kill you, then you're with Jesus, it's a win. Like, I don't ever want to minimize our pain. But what can this world do to you when you have the hope of Christ? Where death is your sting, it isn't available when you have a hope in Christ. Where bankruptcy is your sting when I have a hope in Christ? Where heartache is your sting when I have a hope in Christ? Like, I don't fear death because my hope is staggeringly greater than the threat of death. My hope is immeasurably more powerful than the heartache I have not being able to always be a good parent. My hope in Jesus is bigger than my biggest problems. And God is larger than my largest trouble. So I don't need to be afraid. I don't fear people, because what can man do to me? Don't fear death, which is like the end thing, because where death is your sting when we have a hope in Christ. And the second charge is don't be discouraged. A little bit different. Don't be afraid, but don't be discouraged. Don't allow trouble to pull you down to its level. See, discouragement is down here, and that's what it tries to do. Fear gets you to back up. Discourage you gets you to come down. And he says, don't be discouraged. Trouble cannot take you out of God's hand. So don't be discouraged. There's this powerful passage in Romans where he says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he's going to list a couple of things. And what does he list first? Shall trouble? Now that's what we're talking about. What can separate you from the love of Christ? Could it be trouble? That trouble might be hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness. I don't know what that would be, but that one. Or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, not an angel or a demon, neither things that are present right now or the things that are going to come in the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. So even though it may be difficult, I don't need to be discouraged because I have God with me and his unending love. There is nothing that can snatch you out of his hand. That is a powerful ray of hope that God is with you. Nothing in all of creation, the universe, and the future, and the past, no angelic being, no spiritual force, no crappy circumstance, no sickness, no darkness, no evil, no hurt, no pain can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And so you do not need to be discouraged, pulled down. Because even in the middle of trouble, I know that God is with me. And nothing can separate me from the love of God. My amazing daughter, Kayla, and I were having lunch this week. And she didn't know about the sermon, but she asked, hey, Daddy, what are some of your worries? And she goes, no, really, tell me. You know, so... So I was like, I told her, you know, some of my worries are with being a good parent to my kids and, you know, worried about my kids, you know, doing well. That probably is pretty high, pretty often. And then, aside from being totally adorable, I shared with her my real fear about leading this church post-COVID. Look, I know that God wants JRC to do something, to be something that's amazing. And so knowing that God has plans for JRC, I sometimes get insecure about my position within that plan. So I'm confident in God supremely. I absolutely believe God is powerful and is amazing and going to do amazing things. I am confident in the people of Jericho Road Church that they are amazing and God followers, and they're going to do amazing things. My lack of confidence lies in the weak link, which I feel is like myself, and I was telling that to my daughter. Not so much confident in me. But then it fits really well with what we're talking about today, because it seems so silly of me to say that, because my call and task is so much less dangerous or daunting than the Israelites that we were talking about. Like, Joshua had to take them to conquer people and like do all this crazy stuff and establish a nation. He's like, well, just show up on Sunday and be nice and encourage the folks. Like, it's so much less dangerous, you know. I'm pretty much not going to probably die from, like, when we go conquer enemies together. Like, you know, our big struggle is we got to share the gospel with some coworkers. Like, but probably they're not going to come here and kill me. Probably, you know, like, I hope not, but probably not. And so mine is so much less than all of that, right? But it feels big to me in my life. And every one of us has things that seem too big or too overwhelming to us. Things that we think that we can't handle. And it doesn't matter if it's less than someone else's trouble, because troubles are incomparable like that. It doesn't matter if my troubles are less than the Israelites' difficulties. They're real and they're difficult to me. And they're real and difficult to us. See, God's ray of hope isn't just for biblically large troubles or life-threatening troubles. It's for all of our troubles. It's for maybe you're having trouble with another girl at school. And she just picks on you, and then your feelings are hurt. But it's big to you. Or maybe it's dealing with, you know, like I said, an aging parent. And no one else can kind of understand. And you were just saying earlier you thought you were so patient and good until you deal with a parent that's ailing or has dementia. And then you're like, freak out, right? It's real to you. And it's big to you. Maybe the money. Yeah, it's just money. It's not like the Israelites, some big thing like that. But it's a trouble to you. There's no such thing as trouble that's too small to concern God, because he's limitless. So big and small distinctions are irrelevant to God. None of the entire world's problems are big to God. As an infinite, limitless being, there's nothing you got that's too big. But because that's the case, there's also nothing that you have that's too small. Whatever trouble you're facing, and it's different for all of us, and I guarantee you we have them. Every conversation I have, all of us have some piece that we're having trouble with in life. But no matter what trouble you're facing, you can have hope because God is with you and will always be with you and will never forsake you and never leave you, no matter what you're facing. And so I think you've listened today. You've maybe been thinking about some stuff and you've been presented with God's word, and I want you to take a few moments to just kind of receive that, to allow it to soak inside of you, because we can sit here pretty easily at church, right? Timestamp in, jump out, hear God's word, but it doesn't connect deep unless we take an intentional moment to say, God, I want you to allow this to travel deep to the center of me and allow it to hit your actual real trouble today and maybe the one that you're going to have in a few weeks. And so would you allow just a few moments to receive it deep in your soul, this word of God, to allow his truth to take root in the center of you. And here's his word that he said to Joshua, to the Israelites, and to us. Be strong and courageous. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. And he will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged.